Coming up on show 992, SK Innovation, the battery maker, loses a case to LG Chem and faces a ban. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Plus on the show today, Tesla range estimates are called into question. Volkswagen Group teams up with Microsoft. And Mercedes-Benz EQS is spied once again wearing even less camo than before. I'll give you the details of what it looks like. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, however you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for what happened on Saturday, 13th of Feb. My name is Martin Lee. I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We'll start with this big story that made the rounds today, then. The US International Trade Commission, the ITC, sided with South Korea's chemical and EV maker. They're called LG Chem, which accused their crosstown rival, fellow South Korean company SK Innovation, of what is misappropriating trade secrets related to EV battery technology. Well, according to Autoblog, the ITC said it was issuing a 10-year exclusion order, but it would permit SK to import components for domestic production of lithium-ion batteries, battery cells, battery modules, and battery packs for two cars. The Ford F-150, which is going pure electric, and it could be a massive seller for Ford because, well, the F-150 is a massive seller. They're allowed to bring those batteries into the country for 4 years, and Volkswagen's ID4, in other words, they said the MEB electric vehicle line in North America, and that means the ID4, and they're allowed to bring those batteries in for 2 years. So that is a hell of a ruling. The ITC said the decision would allow the car makers to transition to new suppliers. Well, look, these battery supply contracts are tied up many years in advance, and it's not as if someone's got a bunch of batteries hiding down the back of the sofa that weren't accounted for. So on the face value, disaster for Ford, disaster for VW, disaster for the American buying public who want to buy great EVs, and who the ITC said that in this case between LG and SK Innovation that they found on the side of LG and banned SK for 10 years. Now, SK Innovation are building two EV battery factories in Georgia to manufacture batteries in Volkswagen for Volkswagen and for Ford for those vehicles to be sold in the US. LG Chem has set up an EV battery cell venture plant with GM in Ohio, for instance. But look, I think this case is not cut and dried. It's not as simple as, you know, we're just going to allow this battery company to sell Ford some batteries for 4 years and VW for 2 years and then off your trot for 10 and a 10-year ban. These kind of things are going to get wrapped up in appeals. They were very generous. SK on the losing side said, we respect the ITC. I'm imagining, I know very little, but the ITC sounds like the kind of federal body that you don't want to mess with. And so they are respectful. We said we respect the result. I imagine this will get either appealed or something will happen, or Biden has a 60-day period where he can intervene and change it. That may happen, of course. It's very difficult, isn't it? You want to see as many EVs on the road as possible. You want clean air for your kids and for children growing up. You want clean green transport. You want to make sure that intellectual property is protected. You don't want people to invest money in whatever, EVs, batteries, technology, and for other companies or countries even, just to come in and be able to rip it off and steal it, and therefore there'd be no consequences. So, you know, without going into the finer points of this, I think it'll rumble on. It sounds to me like it'll go round and round in courts, and when the lawyers have exhausted, it'll end in a settlement and everyone will carry on with nobody admitting any blame anywhere. But I don't know, I could be wrong. So we'll wait and see. Massive case, though. Massive implications. We'll watch that one. Next, Tesla's range estimates were again in the news today, and over the last day, actually, because Edmunds did a bunch of real-world tests, some independent real-world tests of a load of EVs, actually. And these tests brought into question the EPA range estimates for many of the cars, none of which got close to their EPA, but of course some of them exceeded and some of them didn't. Electrek, the EV website Electrek, says that Edmunds tried to compare the EPA ratings of 15 EVs, 5 Teslas, against real-world range. They were unable to achieve the EPA range on any Tesla vehicle they drove. Under exactly the same test conditions, many of the other EVs smashed their EPA. So what's going on? Well, the Mini Cooper SE is EPA 110, real world 150. The Porsche Taycan 4S, EPA 203 miles, real world 323. A Kia Niro EV, EPA 239, real world 285. That's 19.2% up. Mustang Mach-E, all-wheel drive, extended range, EPA 270, real-world 304. It's a 12.6% difference. So what is the EPA, asks Edmonds? Well, what is the methodology? First, the vehicle is fully charged. So it's up to 100% until it will take no more. Then it gets parked overnight to let the battery cool down. The following day, the vehicle is driven. So it's inside in a temperature-controlled environment on a dyno, which is like a treadmill for cars. And it'll do simulated city and highway routes until the battery is depleted. Doesn't go above 60 miles an hour, I believe, on that highway route. So again, not many people will drive that slowly. Many people do, but I'm just telling you how the test is done. Total distance traveled is then multiplied by a correction factor, which the EPA has determined then accurately reflects what drivers can expect. So that correction factor is all to do with the car being tested inside, no hills, no wind resistance, no rolling road resistance, etc., etc. In short, there's a method to the madness. But it is indeed madness. As Tom Ologny, who my fellow partner in crime on the Inside EVs podcast, which, plug, I do every Friday on YouTube, but don't let it put you off, and it's on usual podcasts. Tom has a phrase where he says, you know, if you do 10 different range tests, you get 10 different ranges. There is no one range test, there's no perfect range test, but it's interesting how all of the Teslas do so much worse than their EPA, the headline they get to put on their website that they sell cars for, and That tends to agree with what many Tesla owners also say, which is they don't get anywhere near the promised EPA range, and many other EVs go a lot further. Lots of conspiracy theories online about this, about like a two-step process and a five-step process that Tesla opt to do. And you know what? Tesla are doing nothing underhand here. It could just be that their cars, for whatever reason, by design or not, are optimized for the EPA test, and they just do better on it. And then when they're driven real world, they just don't do as well. Is it the end of the world? No, not really, but it's interesting to think about. There is no perfect test. But actually, you know what? What is interesting? Like I say, I do appear on the Inside EVs podcast on Fridays, and both Tom and Kyle, who I do that show with, they get a lot of press cars sent to them, and the most recent, the Porsche Taycan 4S. And again, they do very thorough testing, and they'll tell you how long the car was left for and what condition. So Tom left the car overnight in minus temperatures, and so the battery was, you know, as cold as it gets, started at 100%, drove at a constant 70, and then is able to deduce some results that are interesting, but it doesn't mean, because he got even then a way above EPA, and there was snow outside on the Taycan, but it's good to be armed with that knowledge. But even then, there's no perfect range test, because you won't be driving a Taycan at 70 miles an hour constantly, you know, in minus temperatures. So, little plug for that. Their videos are very good. Kyle tends to have balls of steel. He'll go till the car stops. Like the last one I watched, it was just, oh, I'm out of range. Hazard lights on. I'm in the middle of the road. Yeah, I'm not that brave. But and he really will use up every electron in the battery and work out how much, you know, how far you can go in what conditions. Are you driving at 50, 70, more, etc.? Okay, let's talk about Volkswagen. Volkswagen Group's software organization, I guess I'll call it, a spin-off bit called Car.Software, are teaming up with Microsoft to build autonomous technology in the cloud with a cloud-based platform. They're using Azure from Microsoft to develop their processes for automated driving. VW are very serious about this with their EVs, and they can fully test and deploy and operate, and using all of the resources that Microsoft have with Azure to put loads of computing power into it. And you know, I guess it's a story, but there's only so many people that they could have teamed up with. The story was either going to be Volkswagen team up with Google, Microsoft, or Amazon. You know, really. But they have to go with someone. So it's Microsoft. Interesting that they are putting a ton of computing power behind autonomous driving to run all those simulations. Next, Mercedes-Benz are in the news with the EQS, once again seen testing in the cold weather and once again seen with camo on, but less than before. New images that I'm looking at right now show the flagship EQS Mercedes-Benz, a liftback, actually a hatchback, not a hatchback as in small hatchback, because this is the top of the range car, but it's a liftback, so not a sedan, which is really interesting, not a saloon boot, which is interesting. And so, according to Motor One, the general shape of the EQS is sleeker than the S-Class for the coupe-like roofline, and in the same vein as an AMG GT four-door coupe, if you know what I'm talking about. Riding on the new EVA architecture, the Mercedes-Benz EQS will follow up the concept car from a couple of years ago, the Vision EQS that we saw at the Frankfurt Motor Show, and we'll see how close to reality that is. We've had some concept cars come recently that have been very much like the Audi e-tron GT. Looks a lot like the concept car, and that's a good thing. Staying with Mercedes-Benz, the EQA gets a rave review. Zach at Clean Technica describes the Mercedes-Benz EQA as a freaking appealing electric crossover. Kind words indeed. It should make many Mercedes-Benz fans happy to be joining the electric revolution, assuming that Mercedes builds enough of them to meet demand. Last month, in January, almost 14% of new car sales were sales of plug-in vehicles, 7% here in the UK, us Brits buying fully electric vehicles, almost 1 in 10. Market is growing fast, and premium class buyers are increasingly wanting the hottest, newest technology. With an electric powertrain, Mercedes-Benz brought an attractive option to the market, they say, with the EQA. And that's nice to read, because I gave a glowing review of the EQA, not having driven it, but just on specs, on effort, on interior, on luxury. And people were very quick to criticise and jump on me on social, on email, and be like, oh, it's just an electric GLA. Mercedes-Benz should have tried harder. It's not a Tesla. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not sure how big the crossover market is of people buying this Mercedes-Benz EQA, that we're going to buy a Tesla. I think that a lot of people get really worked up about that and compare everybody to Elon Musk's company, and they shouldn't. But, you know, it's their right to do so, and I guess if they want to argue differently, they can go get themselves a podcast and make it every day and argue their case. But I think the EQA looks like a very nice, attractive car for a certain buyer that wants that certain thing. Pricing in the UK starts at £40,495 when you take off the £3,000 plug-in car grant. Moving on, it's a sign of the times. You know, Detroit Diesel is going electric. Detroit Diesel, a brand known for its diesel engines, pivoting to become the supplier of e-axles to Freightliner trucks. I love stories like this. We see them so often now. Detroit Diesel is making electric powertrains for the Freightliner e-Cascadia semi-truck and the medium-duty trucks as well from Daimler, says Green Car Reports. It's going to be a single-motor configuration, 180 horsepower, 11,000 pound-feet of torque. Dual-motor version will make 360 horsepower. And there's going to be three battery pack sizes. I'd like either of these on my, or all of them on my Renault Zoe, a 210 kilowatt hour, a 315 kilowatt hour, or a 475 kilowatt hour battery pack. Now, they use the prismatic cells, so the hard-shelled cells, if you know, like little bricks, if that makes sense. Lithium-ion battery cells. Daimler estimates a range of 230 miles for the EM2, which is the medium-duty truck, and 250 miles for the semi-truck. Finally, a couple of stories which just came across the desk pretty late when I was recording this podcast. First of all, a letter sent from Transport and Environment to the European Commission. And I'll just read you the first couple of paragraphs. We, the undersigned, call for the European Commission to review the Alternative Fuels Infrastructure Law and propose ambitious regulation rather than a directive, and to set binding national targets for vehicle segments. So what they're arguing for, and they're writing to the European Commission, I don't know how you feel about this, is for them to put into law how many chargers there should be by a certain date. In this case, it's in the EU. This, they say, making it, rather than a directive, but making it a law, would help harmonise the common market for zero-emission road transport across Europe, from recharging to refuelling, and allow for swift implementation of the fast-growing electric vehicle market, and grant the framework to cover the areas where most recharging will happen in the immediate future, like charging in public parking facilities and supermarket car parks, etc. You know, I found that letter as a PDF, so I'll pop a link to the PDF version in the show notes if you want to read more. You know, it's kind of more... Well, it is more about legislation and regulation and stuff. But if you're into that side of it, I'll, you know, I don't know who listens to this podcast. If you're interested, I'll pop it in. Finally, a bit of a public service announcement. Maybe if you're a Tesla owner, you want to look into this. Tesla is being forced, well, has to recall, says this story, 12,500 Model Xs worldwide, it says, over body moulding problems, Germany's Motor Vehicle Authority. So it's the authority in Germany, the KBA, saying on its website that Tesla must recall worldwide all of the Xs built in 15 and 16 because of a mould that falls off. I mean, that's never useful, I guess. According to Autoblog, and CNET said that back in November, Tesla said it would recall almost 10,000 Xs because of faulty roof trim adhesive following a National Highway Traffic Safety and Administration investigation. Is that the same piece of trim we're talking about? Well, nobody knows because the press can't ask anything of Tesla anymore. They no longer have that ability. You could tweet Elon, I suppose, but he's too busy buying Bitcoin these days. And so it could be the same. And I don't quite know how the ins and outs of it work that the German authority can say Tesla have to do a worldwide recall. If you know, let me. I'm curious about that. I'd like to learn. Anyway, if you've got an X, something perhaps to look into, because nobody wants bits of your car falling off at random. Be terribly inconvenient. Question of the week on Sunday's show. We are talking about, regardless of technology or specs, who do you think is designing the best looking EV? Oh, we're being superficial. It's all about looks on the podcast this week. Let me know. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. So 991 previous shows in the archive. I mean, we're about a week away from show 1000. I do have some updates to share with you for show 1000 from all your feedback that you've been sending in, things you'd like me to do more of, less of, differently. I have listened and we will put them in place. Thank you very much to our Patreon fans who make this show and our premium partners who get a daily mention. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek O'Reilly and the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard Simons at rscv.co.uk for buying and selling EVs right here in the UK. Hey, have a good one. Catch you soon. Remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.